going to discuss the last big item on our agenda, which is equities versus liabilities. And I give the floor to Manuel.
Thank you, Hans. Good afternoon, everybody. Today we'd like to get your thoughts about our research project on liabilities and equity. We've got four papers that we provided you. Three of those are just background information because it's a new topic for the ASAP, so we wanted to make sure everyone was starting from the same place. And the main paper, 7A, really intends to just give you views about the potential scope for the project. You have discussed liabilities and equity before. That has been in the context of the conceptual framework. And the focus of this session is really primarily on the standards level work. As Peter mentioned yesterday, the ISV has decided to, in the conceptual framework project, to continue its discussion of liabilities and equity as part of the research project, with a view to looking at whether there's any potential changes to the definitions as a result of that. So the context of these papers has changed slightly, but we are still focused primarily on the standards level issues. So on the standards level issues, obviously the conceptual framework has definitions, but IS 32 is the standard that applies those definitions to set requirements for the classification and presentation of those instruments. The ISB will have to decide as part of this project at a future point in time whether and to what extent changes to IS 32 are required in response to the problems it identifies. The project is on the agenda because of the agenda consultation that the ISB did back in 2011. Some respondents to that consultation indicated a preference for a more fundamental review of IS 32. Others suggested that we address the practice problems and eliminate inconsistencies, etc., with more of a focus on developing some presentation and improving disclosure requirements around equity instruments. Gaining a better understanding of those problems that people have raised is going to be a big part of this project. Obviously, we want to focus our efforts and resources on those problems that people have identified and we think we can address efficiently. We discussed some of those problems in Agenda Paper 7C. Of course, this issue isn't a new issue. It's an old chestnut. The ISB has worked on this project before, together with the FASB, and the FASB has taken the lead previously because of the extensive experience they've had on dealing with wrestling with the issue. We summarise the history of the previous attempts in Agenda Paper 7D, and as that paper shows, it is quite difficult to get consensus around this issue and to make progress. EFRAG has also published a paper on the classification of claims, which is a very good paper, which outlines some of those issues and decision points that are quite critical when making decisions about classification of claims. And we're going to monitor that responses to that discussion paper and the results of that discussion paper quite closely. The basic question we want to ask to get your views on is whether IS 32 is fundamentally sound. Are its requirements producing useful information? If not, whether a fundamental review of IS 32 is likely to result in significant improvements in a reasonable amount of time. If it is sound, whether we should focus on fixing those practice issues, reducing inconsistencies, and improving the information to users through improvements to disclosures and presentation. Of course, improving the disclosures and presentation would be part of a fundamental review as well. We do outline those two alternatives in the paper. We look at, have a preliminary view at the pros and cons of both of those, and we'd like to get your thoughts on which approach you think the ISB should pursue. I'll turn it over to ASAP members now for any questions or suggestions, solutions.
Lisa?
I guess I have to. I can see merits in both ways, and I'll start the more fundamental way around. I think maintenance of IS 32 is not going to get us anywhere. It is going to get us to more band-aids about around certain bruises. We can solve a few practice issues, but there'll be always sort of borderline cases. And as soon as IFRIC has come up with one case, the next engineering is around the corner. We can, of course, decide to live with that for a medium to long-term perspective. And we know it wouldn't be very easy to go a different route. You have a standard that's not in compliance with the current framework. You'll have a standard that's not in compliance with the future framework. You've got something which brings up the odd question for IFRIC here and there, and we can keep going and maintaining it. However, it's not going to really be helpful. I know it's a very hard bullet to bite. However, I think at some stage you have to. You can postpone it for another 5 years or so, but the amount of questions around it will just increase. So it's not a very helpful, maybe, perspective, but sometimes there are these issues where they don't go away with doing a bit of maintenance.
Roger?
Well, I agree with Liesl, and although it's tempting to think about some more band-aids, I'm just wondering whether it's going to be wasted effort given that the basic problems are not going to go away in 5 years' time. I think the new thinking in the draft conceptual framework is helpful to some of these discussion questions. For example, on obligations which might be in practice unavoidable, and therefore perhaps after the conceptual frameworks move forward, perhaps I don't know when it will be finalised, but certainly after the exposure drafts out, perhaps that's the time to start thinking about this issue more fundamentally.
Kim?
Yeah, echo Liesl and Roger. I think that given the new definition in the conceptual framework, I think you do need to do a fundamental review of 32.
Clement?
Yeah, primarily the majority will of our group are also in favor of fundamental review, but the comment is with the progress on the conceptual framework, whether it is more sensible to complete the conceptual framework first rather than, you know, sort of turn our attention to 32. Some of the issues might be, you know, sort of looked at and resolved to a certain extent by our completion of the conceptual framework.
What's that?
In our discussions, in fact, the thrust was not to go into the maintenance of IS-32, basically on the lines that Roger and Liesl have outlined already, but was not to start from a blank sheet of paper either. So it was to learn from the difficulties that have been encountered in practice with IS-32, and also, and that's in fact what was behind our initiative of coming with this paper, classification of claims, identify the tensions, where they come from in serving different objectives, and prioritizing on as rational a basis as possible why you would give precedence to one objective compared to the other.
Okay.
Yeah, overall, we support the ISB's tentative decision not to make a significant changes to the distinction between liability and equity in the conceptual framework as part of this review. There are a number of fundamental issues that should be resolved to make changes to the conceptual framework. As stated yesterday, we believe that the distinction between liability and equity should be first considered in light of what should be accomplished by the distinction, which should be prioritized. Yesterday, I quoted, I talked about IFRAG discussion paper. The IFRAG discussion paper identified the distinction between the liability and the equity should play a role to representing the four matters, entities' liquidity, solvency, financial performance, and return to the holders of particular class of investment. We think that the role of entities' financial performance is most important for us. With regard to the question as to the whether the ISB should carry out a fundamental review of IAS 32 or should make a limited improvement to the standard, I found it difficult to answer right now. If the future conceptual framework discussion suggests that fundamental changes are necessary as to the presentation of claim, the ISB should carry out the fundamental review. At this stage, we are not sure if the fundamental review is warranted.
Rebecca? Well, we were thinking that maybe a little bit more, shall we say, initial research and thinking needs to be considered in between the interaction from the conceptual framework project to really what is in the existing IS32, in essence, to try to better understand what we think the implications would be of the proposed, shall we say, combined value and settlement approach. So identify what really needs to better define the problem, I guess, is really maybe the focus first, to then decide which, whether a broad or narrow approach. We did recognize that 32 did help through the crisis, so there was some merit. So like Francoise, we don't want to start with the very clean sheet, but we do acknowledge there's a lot of interpretation challenges. We've seen the number of requests, so trying to balance between those two. But it'll be important, though, as we know the conceptual framework's going out for exposure, that there is close linkage between the two projects. But we were very supportive of seeing this work take off because this is one of our recommendations of an area that did need focus. But we'd also encourage you to look to, because there are new instruments that are coming out, in particular as a result of the recent crisis that we're aware. Let me just get the proper description. When what we've seen is some of, in order to put some protection mechanisms into certain types of shares, we've seen what were described as non-viable contingent capital features. And I know that's, we've seen different practices. So it might be helpful as well during that time to look to see what new instruments are, what their features are, so we can actually address them comprehensively.
And Xiao?
We supported the fundamental review of the IFRS. IS32. Currently, IS32 has been regarded as one of the most difficult standards to be understood and applied, even translated into our local language. So we think fundamental review and redrafted standards is necessary. And we also think if we took the improvement approach, we doubt that whether those practical issue could be resolved, or even those practical issues currently available could be resolved, maybe new issue will come out. So we support the fundamental review.
Angus?
I guess it's fair to say that we acknowledge all the shortcomings of 32, but we're getting on with it and we're living with it, so we think we're, like Lisa, we're happy to live with it for another 5 years. Maybe longer.
That's not what Lisa meant.
Look, ideally it would be done as part of the conceptual framework, and particularly note the statement that appears in paragraph 7A about regarding that there's a universe of claims, so not having this binary distinction, but weighing up all the outreach that's been done on this issue and the current, I guess, rusted on support for there being a binary distinction, we acknowledge that to get something done in a roughly, say, a five-year time frame, a fundamental review of 32 based on a binary distinction is probably the way to go.
That seems to be the majority of the opinion here.
Yes, as Rebecca and Francois said, we're also in favour of reviewing IS 32, but we think there's a clear necessity of establishing a link between the new IS 32 and the conceptual framework, and also taking into account those parts of IS 32 that are okay, that we're happy with.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, I guess the other question was mainly about the risks. Obviously, there's been previous attempts to do a fundamental review or within this area, and a lot of them have come to without. Well, let's say that they couldn't find a much better alternative to 32 or a consensus around that. How do you think the board should think about the risks surrounding such a fundamental review, if that's...
Yeah, well, Russ, you have a good answer to that.
Well, I think about this constantly. I mean, I think Tom was accurate when he joked about the issues we have in U.S. GAAP. Liabilities and equity is the number one area of restatements year after year, probably 5 or 6 years from now, in a row. We're trying to do some maintenance to try to take what are the errors out and then rethink how to do liabilities and equity more holistically as we work on the conceptual framework. But I'm convinced that the reason prior boards have had so much difficulty is about the issue that we always talk about, which is volatility. Because equity you don't remeasure, and liabilities you do remeasure. And I think it's going to be really difficult to make substantial changes there until we figure out and think more about performance reporting and how to isolate operating, non-operating, recurring, non-recurring. Because I think that the pitfalls we had was because we were defining a lot of things at liability, which would then be remeasured through income that quite frankly the preparer community didn't like. And I think that's
again,
it's get back to the same thing we had in insurance. It's get back to the volatility.
So we need to think of not just classification. We need to think of balance sheet, P&L, holistically.
Yeah, because the other side, once you conclude it's a liability and you remeasure it, it goes to the P&L.
Well, then they should just go for a proper equity instrument.
Hmm.
You mean like a simple equity?
Yeah.
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 I mean,
that's exactly the problem we had last time. We called it basic ownership, I believe, and then everything went to a liability, and that caused substantial concern because of volatility through the P&L. That was what the issue was.
Yeah, so then they should avoid it.
Avoid the instruments?
I do the instruments.
Isn't that a good deterrent, I would almost say, to flee into these pseudo-equity products? Sue?
I agree with lots of the observations that have been made, and I agree that this sort of debt-equity line is always going to be the trouble. And I think one of the things that might take some of the pressure off it was some of the ideas which I actually liked in the discussion paper about the sort of more comprehensive picture of what's going on within equity, if you like, because I think it gives us a little bit more wiggle room to explain things in different ways without using the debt-equity distinction so starkly. I wonder whether one of the ways of doing something that's more than just patchwork and sort of solving instrument by instrument, but is not starting with a clean sheet of paper, as Francois said, is to sort of step back a bit and trying to understand why the requirements in 32 were done the way they were, like what were the underlying concepts. And I think some of the papers that Manuel's been working on for the board in terms of the sort of settlement and value approaches is building on some of those ideas. And I think if we could understand a little bit better why, for example, the fixed for fixed was there, it might help us build some more robustness around the words and some more understanding of why we've got particular words and classifications, which would then at least give us a framework to answer some of the application questions. Because I think the concern I have at the moment is that while we could sort of muddle along for 5 years, we've got a whole load of issues that we haven't been able to answer at the interpretation committee table, and that's because there's not much behind the words in 32 to give us a steer in terms of what the intended outcome was. And so I think if we could bolster some of the ideas behind 32, even if we didn't change fundamentally what was in there, that might be a way of keeping it manageable that would be a good improvement. And we could circle back on some of the liability clarifications that we've got in the conceptual framework to help us with some of those questions, like the economic compulsion type area. It doesn't solve all of our problems, but it helps a bit.
We had, in essence, adopted the philosophy as fix for fix in an EITF issue. And I was the chair of the EITF at the time, and as we got through and thought about the basis of what fix for fixed, it was really that the derivative was putting you in a similar place as if you were a shareholder. But unfortunately, we then had to have a number of examples to make people understand when you have items that change the price or change the underlying, so it's not fix for fix, how you determine that that is a normal type of feature that would be applicable to a shareholder. So for example, if you had a spin-off, if you had a spin-off, they oftentimes change the pricing of the shares. And so how do you make yourself consistent? And that, I can't remember, 30 maybe? There's a lot. Yeah. And they go on and on. And so what the EITF did is they took all the issues in practice and then they answer it all. And I wouldn't do that. but I would think about, as Sue said, how do you, if you're going to stay with the 32 approach and fix for fix, what are the characteristics that put you in as close as possible place as the underlying shareholder, recognizing you're not oftentimes a shareholder? Yep.
The risk of front-running the project, I want to ask ASF members to stand ready, to use another liability phrase, to help if we, as we pursue this project, because it strikes me, looking at the risks, the feedback we've had on other projects, that one of the difficulties we have is the feedback we've had so far from users who say, you know, drawn to a simple equity model because I want simplicity. You know, I want simplicity. I think it's in thinking about classification, but I think, and this is me reading into their responses, that there might also be a desire to get some kind of recognition and measurement of various participation rights that attach. So, like Sue, I think there might be help in that expanded presentation of equity that was illustrated in the discussion paper and conceptual framework. And that, you know, Russ, you talked about the conceptual framework work you're doing as being a complement to solving some of the problems. I think that might be a complement for us in terms of some of the things. But the help I'm soliciting in advance is it's notoriously difficult to get really good, especially early engagement from users of financial statements. And I think we might have to explore how they would look at different presentations, because it's clear they want information about how different participations might change. And they just use the only mechanism they say available today, which is if you classify it as equity, at least they get, you know, remeasurement of those rights. And yet that creates the preparer resistance, in part because of volatility. And I think it probably is more work with users that will have to be an early stage to address some of these risks and challenges.
One of the things, some people say that you can't complete liabilities and equity and have a substantial amount of these items in equity unless you also think or have an open mind about improvements in earnings per share. Yeah. And that will cause earnings per share.
Yeah, okay.
And that may cause some substantial changes in time period.
Clear message.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that. All right, well, we're getting to the close.
Yeah.
And Michelle?